Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to start this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. I really like the book of Ephesians. It's one of my favorite New Testament books, that in Hebrews. Ephesians, of course, was written by Paul to the church at Ephesus. And that church was a powerful church. That church was pastored by Timothy. The Apostle John went to that church. Jesus' mother went to this church. And they had some stuff going on. And this morning, I want to start there. I'm going to talk to you this morning about, this is what we're going to talk about. We may talk about it for more than one service. We'll just see if we're done today. Or not. I don't think we will be, but we'll see. But we're going to talk about a revelation of authority. Amen. Now, you know, I know Pastor Chuck just a few months ago preached on authority, but obviously we need to hear it again and again. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about that. After World War II, Germany was, defeated. The Allies were occupying Germany, the United States, France, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union were occupying Germany. And they divided it up into four parts. And each one of the occupying forces, took part of it to, to rule it, to administer things there. And East Germany went to the Soviet Union, which was communist. And eventually, and I think it was like 61, they built what was called the Berlin Wall. Now that wall, people talk about the wall in the United States, oh my gosh, we don't need a wall, we don't need a wall. Well, let me tell you, there's a huge difference in the wall that we've talked about building and the wall they built. The wall we're talking about building is to keep bad actors out. The Berlin Wall was built to keep the citizens in. So, you young people that are heading off to college, let me just give you a heads up. Don't believe, I don't want to put anything negative, but you need to run filter things that you're told. Because there are some in our country that would like for us to become a socialist country, which is just a junior teenage communist. That's all it is. The next step is communism. And there are some in our country, we have a communist party in our country that thinks communism good. We've got news people and everything that think communism good. Then why do you have to put a fence up to keep your people in? They're trying to get out. We have to put a fence up to keep people from trying to get in. They have to put a fence up, I might have said that wrong. They have to put a fence up to try to keep people from getting out because they don't want it. And of course, our dear friend, lived there, our dear pastor friend from East Germany, Brother Schmidt, Dr. Schmidt, he was there. He lived up. He was a guard at the Berlin Wall, or was supposed to be. It didn't quite work out because his answers weren't right. And, when they asked him what you would do if someone tried to get over the wall, they gave him a gun to shoot him. And he said, well, I'd hang my gun on a tree and join him. And that was the wrong answer. And so that was his last day of guarding the Berlin Wall. Anyway, he lived under that. He was an underground pastor. And he told me some things about the fall of the Berlin Wall. I remember the days when it came down. I remember President Reagan standing there at the gate and saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Powerful thing. But yet, when you talk to Dr. Engelhoff about it, he told me, he said, what happened, and others have said this too, that were in East Germany at the time. He said what happened was Brother Hagin's book, The Authority of the Believer, was translated into German and some of our pastors got a hold of it. And they began to take authority over this spirit that was keeping them in bondage. And he told me, which it's pretty wild when I thought about it, he said Brother Hagin's book, The Authority of the Believer, was on the blacklist in East Germany. In other words, it was a book that the government forbade to be sold. In other words, they disallowed it. And I'm thinking, this book is such a threat. A preacher in broken Arrow, Oklahoma, writes a book, and the communist government blacklists the book. What does that tell you? There's something in there in that book that threatens the devil, right? And he said, you know, a lot of the, he said, we got a hold of that book, as pastors did, on the authority of the believer, and we began taking authority and began dealing with this spirit, you know, the demonic spirits that were trying to keep us in bondage. And that wall came down without a shot being fired. You know, some of you may have Pastor Ingoff's new book. I think he talked about it in there, about how that day that it just seemed like there was something in the air. And before the day was over, the communist people that were in ruling had left office, had departed, and the new administration came in. They didn't even fire a shot, and they were free. Hallelujah. Because there's authority. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, right? And so I want to talk to you about that because, you know, one of the things that impacted my life 40-some years ago when I gave my life to Jesus Christ was there were a couple teachings that really impacted me. There's more than two, but a couple that stood out that really impacted me, and that was the authority of the believer and how to be led by the Spirit of God. Right. And when I got a hold of those way back then, and it became a revelation to me, and I'm still working the revelation. You understand? 40 years at this, and I'm still growing in this revelation. And I still don't think I work it as good as I should, but I do have it. Amen. Now, let's go here, because Paul prayed something here in Ephesians. Now you know, Paul prayed like 1, 2, 3, 4 different prayers for the churches, you know, that are listed. And you ought to go back and read those. There's one in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, Colossians 1. I pray those over myself, over people, because they made it in the Bible. Yes. Amen. You know, some prayers wouldn't make it in the Bible. How many know that? But these made it in the Bible because they're Spirit-inspired prayers. Amen. Now, in Ephesians 1:15, Paul said, "Wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So this just wasn't a one-time prayer. You know, he's praying this over these people a lot. And he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, the King James says being enlightened, some say flooded with light. Hey, you know, you just got to have your, has anybody ever had that happen to him where you just, all of a sudden you saw something? I mean, you just, it's like, I saw it. You got flooded with light. Amen? And so that's a really good feeling when that happens. I've had that happen. It's like all of a sudden, man, revelation comes. It's like, wow, where was that before? Like, for instance, another revelation that was really a big revelation to me was the fact that we had a covenant with God. It just made things make a lot of sense to me. It's like, because, you know, people still that don't know, they're confused about things, and they'll say, well, why does God allow this over here? Why does God allow that over there? Well, one thing you have to understand, God's not down here controlling everything that goes on. If he did, we'd all act a lot better, right? He gave man a free will, and if you want to go mess it up, you can. If I wanted to leave here today and go rob a gas station, I could do it. I'm not going to, but I could. Because God's given me, he's not going to stop me. God's given me a free will. He didn't create robots, right? So we have a choice, right? And that's important to know that, because some people think, a lot of people think, probably the majority of the body of Christ thinks that everything happens because God wanted it to happen. Wrong. Israel got a king and God didn't want him to have a king. A lot of things in the Bible, God said he didn't want to have to happen, and they happened. So we need to know that, right? We need to understand that, because once I get done with this teaching, you know, maybe today, probably not today, I think one of the things we're going to see is we have a lot to do with what's going on in our lives, and we can't just leave it all up to God. The woman with the issue of blood got healed because of her faith. Jesus didn't go to her house, did he? She got out of, she was sick, right? She'd been bleeding for 12 years, so she had to be weak. She'd spent all of her money on all physicians. That tells you she really had some major issues because she's really trying to get rid of this problem. And yet she gets out of her bed and goes and finds Jesus. And she's out in public, and the ruler of the synagogue's there with Jesus, Jairus. He has the authority to stone her for being out in public unclean with an issue of blood. Yeah. She risked all of it, but she said, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be healed. Amen. Well, how many know she had to do something, didn't she? Yeah. I don't know. This was years ago. I don't remember what year it was, but I was in Central America, and the Lord told me, and I really hadn't preached this before, and hadn't thought of it. The Lord said, I want you to preach on man's authority, God's ability. I thought, wow, that'll preach. In other words, what he was saying to me is when man takes his authority, it releases my ability. So I preached on that. Amen. And so I still got the notes today. They're, you know, typed out notes that I have. And I thought, boy, that's good. I may preach that again sometime, you know. But it's something we have to know, right? All right, so I want you to notice verse 18. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. Notice, he's not praying for them to get something. He's praying for them to know something.
Right.
They already have it.
Right.
Now, this is something the Lord's been dealing with me about, and it's not like I didn't know it. How many of you can know things and then you let them slip?
Right.
You know things. See, even in the natural, you can know things and you let them slip. You know, I've talked about this before. When I was like 18, 19, I took courses in motorcycle repair, how to repair a motorcycle engine and so forth, and did really well. I mean, I was like almost A-plus student, not quite, just a little bit below that. And so I did really well. But you know what? I didn't really do anything much with it, you know? And so now today, if you brought your motorcycle with me, only thing I know to do is kick it over or something. I don't know. Beat it or hit it or something. Yeah. Kind of like I do with computers, you know. If it's not working, just beat this thing. And one day I was beating my computer in my office and calling it a Stone Age piece of junk. And Phyllis walks by, confession perfect lady, you know. She walks by and says, you have what you say. You know, it was really, all right. How many of them ever do that? You, come on, just admit, sometimes you beat stuff and it's like, if a duct tape or hammer won't fix it, then I'm done. I saw this car, I don't know, it might have been Wednesday night. We were going somewhere, her and I, maybe it was Friday. And they had it was a van, and they had the back part of their van was caved in or something. Like you couldn't tell, but they had taken duct tape. The thing was black. They'd taken black duct tape and fixed it all the way. I thought, man, there you go. Hallelujah. If duct tape won't fix it, just get rid of it. Amen. I told her, what I said to her is, there's your dad. She's been to your dad's body shop, because he had a Cadillac one time. He did that too. Duct taped it and then spray painted it. Hey, we from the country. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, Randy might remember this. We had an aunt one time. She painted her car with a paintbrush. It really wasn't all that bad, as long as you didn't get up close to it. You know, it's like, looked pretty good going down the road, you know. Hey, we just hillbillies. You know what I'm talking about? Hicks. I mean, Pastor Chuck come from a place that doesn't even have stoplights or stop signs or anything. You know what I'm talking about? So. You just do what you got to do, right? You know what I'm saying? Amen. So, he's not praying that God would give them something other than wisdom and revelation to know what they already have. They already have it. You already have it. And notice what he's praying here. He says in verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, or the hope that we have associated with being sons and daughters of God. What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There's a lot of glory in this inheritance, and we need to know about that. We're not going to talk about that. Here's what we're going to talk about. Verse 19, the third thing he prayed, that they would know, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. So it's for us, everybody. This exceeding greatness power is for us. Everybody say it's for me. All right, how many know? If that's true, we need to know about it, don't we? And he tells us, he explains it. He says, it's verse 19, it's according to the working of his mighty power, or the Greek says the might of his power. In other words, the mightiest power God has ever used.
Yeah.
Now, how many of those know into his power? Yeah. But there was some point he used the most he's ever used.
Yeah.
And the most he ever used, we're going to read, is when he raised Jesus from the dead and raised us up with him. And God said, I want you to know what that power is to you. It means something to you. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Look at this, far above You know, God doesn't just do things just a little bit above. How many know that? You know, don't you like people that go the extra mile?
Yes.
I mean, some people just like, I just barely get it. I hate to do business with people that just barely get it done. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, it passes inspection. If I don't want it to pass inspection, I want it to be superior.
Yeah. Come on now.
Well, that's good. That's good enough. No, I want it to be really good. Amen.
Yeah. Come on now.
Far above all. Everybody say all.
All.
Principality. Power. Might. Dominion. Every name that is named. Everything's got a name, doesn't it? Jesus is above it. But I'm going to show you are too. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So he's got us covered in this life and the one to come. And has set all things. How many things?
All.
Under his feet and gave to be head over how many things?
All.
Well, how many things is all?
Everything.
It's all of it, right? If I come to your house, you say, Pastor, you can have everything in the refrigerator.
Jerry would take it.
That's what his wife said. Pastor Jerry would take it, Miss Kay said. Well, how many know everything's everything, right? That's quite a testimony when your wife. Well, your wife knows you better than anybody. How many know that? But notice this. Over all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Now notice this is real important to the church.
Amen.
What does that mean? For the church's sake. Right? See, it's like I said, you know, one minister saying that believers don't have authority over the devil. Well, right here it says Jesus did all this for the church's sake. And you have to ask yourself, when people say things like that, if they just think about what they're saying, if they just think about it, why would Jesus come down here to get something he already had?
Come on.
He already had authority over the devil.
Right?
He came here to get it for us. He has it. It resides in him, but he gave it to us, virtue of us being in him.
Amen.
In other words, we can't give it away like Adam gave it away. All right? He says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 1, chapter 2. Now, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, all the world is just following the prince of the power of the air. So were you. I said, so were you. How many know, for you were born again? You were under you didn't know it, but you were under the dominion of the devil. Are you with me tonight or this morning? How many know that? See, you know, that doesn't mean they're demon possessed, but it means that's the spirit that's leading them, that's following them. Amen. And so he says, among whom we all also, verse 3, had our conversation or our manner of life in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. How many know before you were saved, you just did whatever the flesh wanted to do, whatever your thoughts told you, whatever your mind told you. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, everybody say, but God. Aren't you glad but God stepped into that mess? God intervened in all that mess. Boy, I am glad. Amen. But God, I was just like you, just bound. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I like what the Amplified Bible says. It says something like, in order to satisfy the great, the wonderful, and intense love which he had for us, he just had to do something for us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And notice this, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So those two, this passage of Scripture says that God, Paul prayed, that the church would know what that power was to them that believe. And then he told us what that power was. He said it's the power that raised Jesus from the dead, set him at God's own right hand, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named. And then he goes on and says, and he did the same thing for you.
Right. Right.
I'm seated and you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Is that the Bible?
Yeah.
I just read a scripture, didn't I? Do we have authority over the devil?
Yes.
How much authority do we have over him?
All.
Far above.
Yeah.
Far above.
Amen.
So when people say we don't have authority over the devil, have they read their Bibles close enough?
No.
Because I don't know if the Lord's going to have me do this. I've got them, and I don't know whether we'll do it, but most likely will, the way I'm feeling. I want to take you through some scriptures in the Bible that show us we have authority over the devil. Just plain tell us we have authority over the devil. One I'm going to talk about is resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Is that a scripture? Is that in the New Testament? Anybody ever ran from the cops? Angie? Oh my gosh. What does she do in church, huh? This whole fugitive over here. Well, you know what? She's a new creature. That's right. Brother Greg raised his hand. I have to raise my hand. Amen. I was running from her one night. A bunch of us were running from her one night. And a friend, a girl. She wasn't a girlfriend like a girl dating. But she was a friend of mine. And the cops came to get us. And everybody took off running. And I'm running. I was gone. I was free. I was clear. And I hear her go, "Mark, come and help me." It's real dark out. "Come and help me." So I thought, well, I got to go help her, man. She might have fallen or something. And a state policeman has her by the arm. So it's like, thank you very much. Now he has me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you run from the police? Because they have authority, right? Right? Because you did something wrong. Why does the devil flee from us? Because we have authority and he's done something wrong. Right? And we're going to resist him. We're going to submit to God, resist him. And I've already preached that scripture. But we're going to maybe look at that one. And he has to flee, right? Why? Because we have authority. See, if you don't know that, he'll just run over you. Right? See, that's what's happened. And I don't mean to get political today. But that's what's happened in America is we've lost leadership. And thank God it's being restored.
Amen.
With people like, well, hey, why are we letting this go on? This is against the law. We have authority here to stop this. And, you know, the news media squeals and liberals squeal, but I'm saying, just step on them bugs.
That's right.
What do you do when you got a roach in the kitchen? I call the husband. Somebody said, run. You got authority over roaches. How many know that? It's called your foot, man. Amen. So, let's talk about this. We have to have a revelation of who we are and what we have. Amen. And if you don't know this, the devil will run over you. I don't care how saved you, how much you love Jesus, you know, how many years you've been saved. He doesn't care about any of that. He's a rebel, and he'll get away with what you let him get away with. He just will. Right? Now, you know, we have enough just to deal with just life. But the devil gets involved too. How many know that? Right? I mean, you know, you're like your physical body. How many know the devil can attack your physical body? Right? He can. But, you know, just living in life, there's because of the fall, because of the curse, and it all came from the devil. But your body will just, you know, it'll have issues just without the devil being involved. You still got authority over all of that. I don't just take it laying down. I'm not saying I've not had some issues. I don't take it laying down. I fight it. Every day I fight it. And I'm going to win.
Right.
I said I'm going to win.
Right.
Why? Because I have authority.
Right.
Well, I don't understand why things don't move all at once. Well, you ever get the answer to that, let me know and I'll preach it. Seriously. Nobody knows everything about it. But I know what the Bible says and it says I have authority.
That's right.
I don't know why I've had to stand. You know, I had to stand. I had a thing in my foot one time. And I had to, and I mean, it was like, if you were looking, you noticed I had something going on. I tried to conceal it. And a lot of times when I get up to preach and get under the anointing, all that stuff goes away.
Yeah.
It disappears. And then after that anointing lifts, it's like, well, that thing's back. And I kind of dragged my foot. And it was like going on for 2 months. And I just kept after it with my faith and with my confession. And just kept after it and kept after it, you know, believing God. And I can't explain this to you, but one day I was sitting in my study at home. I had my foot up like that, you know, sitting in my lazy boy, you know. There's nothing in the Bible against lazy boys. And I'm sitting there, got my foot up, and all of a sudden the power of God hit my foot and healed it. I wasn't even talking to God about my foot. I'm just sitting there. So why'd that happen that way? I don't know, but I'm glad I didn't give up. It's like one lady said one time, she said, you know, my husband and I, this was their faith. They didn't want to go in debt for a house. And so they were believing God for a house. 4 years later, they still didn't have their house. But 5 years later, they had a house debt-free, paid for. Amen. Someone said to this lady, they said, well, it took you 5 years. She said, well, beats paying for it for 30.
That's right, amen.
Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying that's where their faith was at. Your faith better be there if you're going to do that.
Right?
And so let's look at some, we got a little bit of time. Can we look at some more scripture this morning? Let's go over to, let's go over to Genesis, but the first book in the Bible. I want to show you something here. And I know some of this isn't new, of course, but how many of you got to be reminded of it? I don't know about you, but I forget things. That's a good thing about me. Well, maybe it's not a good thing about me. But it's like, unless if we could watch a movie we've seen like 10 times. And if I haven't watched it, you know, in a few months, I don't know what's going on. Unless she tells me. I don't even remember who did it. You know, like we watched this one mystery movie one time. It's not a horror movie, but it's a mystery movie. There's someone guilty that's doing the crimes, you know. I've watched it 3 or 4 times, and every time we watch it, I remember who did it. You don't remember who did it? No, I don't remember who did it. Well, you want me to tell you? No, I don't want you to tell me. Because I don't remember. Amen. So, I'm just saying to you, you got to be reminded of the things. How many know that? Even though we know things, how many know we got to be reminded? Besides that, it's like Brother Hagin used to say, it's like eating T-bone steak. He said, I eat one every chance I get, even though I already had one. Hallelujah. I don't use T-bones, but I'll eat a ribeye every time I get a chance. All right. Look at Genesis 1:26. This is God. It says, God said, everybody say, God said, let us make man, right? In whose image? In our image. After our likeness, talking about the Godhead here,
right.
And let them have dominion. Well, who gave us dominion?
God
gave it to us, right? Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle. Now notice this, over all the earth, all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Charles Capps one time was reading this, he said, thank God we got authority over creeps. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God gave us dominion, didn't he? In the very beginning, right? He gave it to us, right? Over all the earth. Now, help me know. Being under the dominion of the devil is not the image of God, right?
No.
All right, go to 2 Corinthians. I want to look at 2 more passages and we'll be done this morning. 2 Corinthians. I don't have no idea how long I've been going, but not too long. 2 Corinthians, go there. This is real important to your faith, I'll tell you. Well, I guess it just depends. If you want to live in victory, it's important to your faith. You know. It'll be according to your faith. How many? Jesus said that, according to your faith. You know, I'm thinking about a minister, pastor couple. It was her sister. Got cancer, and of course they know about faith. They know about healing. They know about believing God, and so you know they're talking to her sister, who also went to their church, and of course she knows about the same thing because she's been in the church, she's been taught, and so forth. And so she gets cancer in her body, and she was in her 60s at the time. And she's in her 60s. I mean, that's too young to die.
Yeah, right.
So that's too young to die. You know. And so they talk to her, well, we're going to believe God. She says, no, I don't want to be healed. I want to go to heaven. Well, how many know you're going to go to heaven?
Yep.
Isn't that right? Say, am I telling the truth about it?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You know. And so she did. She went to heaven. But it was her choice, right? But she had authority. I said, she had authority. You know, this guy was talking about, he said, you know, he knew this guy. And he said that, you know, they were, he had, I forget what came on him, but something came on him, and it was a deadly disease. And so they're believing God for healing and so forth. And he's talking faith, and he's, you know, yeah, I'm believing God. Thank God I'm healed. I'm believing God I'm healed. And then he died. And they're all like, well, what happened? We're all believing God. And he says he's believing God, and he dies. Well, one thing, the secret things belong to the Lord. How many know that? But you know, so they're like, what happened here? But later on, the wife said, I found his diary, and I read it. And in his diary, he said, I'm telling everybody I want to be healed. I'm confessing I want to be healed. He said, but I just want to go home and be with the Lord. Well, I mean, no, he's going to get what he wants, not what we want. Amen. So, you know, even though it looked like he was in faith, he wasn't in faith. He didn't want to be healed. He wanted to go home and be with the Lord. And you know that you'll get where your faith's at, right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, whose image of God, should shine unto them. It calls Satan the God of this world. Well, we just read in Genesis that Adam had authority, didn't we? Now here we see in the New Testament, it says the devil is the god of this world, the god of this age. Now, I mean, he's not our God, right? He doesn't have authority over us, but no, he's still controlling what's going on in the world. Unless we step in and do something about it, nothing will be done about it. He's not controlling what's going on in our lives, right? Come on, are y'all with me this morning? Because we have authority over him in Christ. But see, there's two creations on this earth. There's the old creation. There's the new creation. Anybody that's in Christ is in the new creation. Right. You get out of the old one into the new one. Right. And so there's two creations. So he has authority still over the old creation and all that's going on in the world. But we're not in the, right? Remember Jesus said, we're not of the world. Right. We may be in it, but we're not of it. Right. We're in a new creation. Right. We're in another kingdom. Amen. He doesn't have authority over here. Hello? Hey, when he comes over on your turf, say, hey, but you don't have authority here, buddy. You don't have any authority here. I have authority here. Now, he's an outlaw. He'll run over you if you let him, but you got to know you have authority.
Right.
Isn't that right? I mean, what are you going to do, man, if you're at home today and you're just up there watching the Indy 500 and all of a sudden you hear something start up, you know, outside, and you look out there and there's a guy who's got a chainsaw and he's going to cut some of your trees down. He says, I need the firewood this winter. How many of you are going to just say, well, all right, I'm go ahead. Now, how many of you know you're going to stop him, right? I mean, Phyllis is going to throw rocks at the guy because she won't even let me cut our trees down, let alone him. I threatened to cut some of them down, and it's just like, I would be banished to some island somewhere. What is that, Devil's Island or something? But why? Because he doesn't have authority to do that. Now, I have trees in my yard, and one in particular, well, hangs over into the neighbor's yard. Okay? It's hanging over his outbuilding. And I told him, I said, anything hanging over and you don't want it, cut it. Or tell me, and I'll cut it. Because, see, it has left my property, and it's over on his now. So he has authority to cut whatever's hanging. That's the law. How many know that's the law? You might want to check with your neighbor before you do it. But it's the law in Indiana. If it's hanging over on your property, you can cut it off. Because it's in your authority now. See, the devil's convinced people that he can just come over in your life and do anything he wants to do. And how many know? It ain't so. I said, it ain't so. He doesn't have authority there if you're in Christ. He's messing around over here on new creation territory. I'm a new creature. I'm not under his authority or dominion or power or rule. I've been seated. So have you. Amen? So how did he become the God of this world? Well, let's close out. Let's go to, did you get something this morning? Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. It gives us some insight into this. I think you already know, but it's just good to see it in the Bible again. Luke chapter 4. I don't know about you, but I like to be reminded about things because I know this. I'm still growing in all of this. You know, I may know it, but there's room to grow. There's room to grow. I'm always pursuing more revelation of the Word. Amen. More knowledge of the Word of God. And Luke 4, as we close out, this is the Jesus being tempted, you know, by the devil in the wilderness. And in verse, let's go to verse 5. Are you in Luke?
Yep.
All right, I'm making sure. Luke 4, verse 5 says, "The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power," or authority is the word, "will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I'll give it. If you'll worship me, it'll all be yours." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So the devil shows him all these kingdoms, and he says, "If you'll worship me, I'll give all of them to you." Well, did he have them? Of course he did. It wouldn't be a temptation if he didn't have them. I mean, you know, what am I going to think if you say, "Pastor, you know, if I know your financial situation, and I know you don't have it," and you say, "Pastor, if you just mow my yard all summer long, I'll give you $1 million. Well, you know, if I know you don't have it, I'm not tempted. But if I know you got it, I'll be over once a week for $1 million. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, I'll mow your yard all summer for $1 million. Yours and your neighbor's. But see, it's not a temptation if you don't have it, is it?
Right.
If I know you don't have it, I'm not going to be tempted.
Right?
See, if one of the teenagers in church that you have to mow the yard, and you say, "Pastor, hey, tell you what, I'll give you $1 million if you'll mow my parents' yard this summer so I don't have to." Nah, I ain't coming. Because I pretty got a pretty good idea about your financial situation, because I was a teenager once and I know what mine was. And I don't think you have it. So I'm not tempted. But if somebody has, how many know if Barron Trump tells me that? How many know who Barron Trump is?
Yes.
All right, Donald Trump's son. If he tells me that, it's going to be a little more enticing to me. If you'll come over and mow the White House lawn, I'll give you $1 million. Yeah, I'm tempted. I'm tempted. See what I'm saying? I've heard people say, "Well, he didn't have it to give." Yeah, he did. He did. It wouldn't have been a temptation. Where did he get it? Did God give it to him?
No.
Well, who gave it to him?
Adam.
Well, who had it?
Adam.
Who had it in the beginning?
Adam.
We read who had it in the beginning, didn't he? So that's who gave it to him. When he sinned, he gave it to him. He gave it to the devil. He gave him the authority over this planet. Jesus came over this world. Jesus came back and got it back. Didn't get it back for him. He got it back for us.
Yes, he did.
But we got to have a revelation of it. We've got to have a revelation that the devil just can't walk over my life. He just can't do anything he wants to do. I'm going to fight him. I'm not saying he won't try, but he's not going to get away with it.
Right.
I'm not laying down and accepting it. Amen?
Right.
You know, it's going to be on the terms, my terms, which are Bible terms.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Right. Thank God we have authority.
Yeah.
But how many know you have to have a revelation of it? Did you know, really, I'm not being critical, but it's just the truth. I would say 90-some percent of the churches in our city would never have me back for saying what I said this morning. Never. And all I did was just read you some Bible verses that are right there. It's because we've been religiously brainwashed instead of scripturally taught. People will make up their doctrine based on what happens to them in life. That's what happens. Instead of making life line up with their doctrine from the Word. That's a big difference, see. And that's what happened. And all of us are tempted to do that. Sure. When pressure gets on you, it's tempting to believe, well, maybe that's not true. No, it's in the Bible. It's true. Every word of it. Every word of God is pure, the Bible says. All of it's true. And when it's not working out in our life, just realize, stick with it.
Yep.
I don't understand. Well, I don't either understand everything, but I know what? Victory's ours.
Yep.
I don't understand why it's taking so long, Pastor. Well, I don't know either, but I know this. Here's what I do know, and here's what I resolved years ago. If there's any failure, it's not with God. If I don't have that down, I'm in trouble. It's with me. I've got to be, There's something I don't know yet. A guy said to this lady preacher one time, he said, I've done everything I know what to do. She said, well, you just don't know enough yet. How many could believe that's probably, right? Have you ever had things, guys, that wouldn't work and you think a stupid thing don't work? Come on, how many guys were like me? It's like, it's that thing's problem. You know what I'm saying? Or it's the screwdriver's problem. You throw the screwdriver or something. Or it's the golf club's problem. You know, you see guys golfing and they break their clubs or throw their clubs. Hey, it isn't the club that you need to throw out in the woods. It's you. You the problem. You don't know how to use a club, you dumb thing. I was out playing golf. I don't know why. But some of the guys here at church thought I need to know how to play golf. And it's just like, I got enough trouble fighting the devil, to go play golf. But I really do like it, enjoyed it, you know. But, you know, it's just like, I don't know what happened, but it's like putting, I can putt, you know. I can putt pretty good, you know. But, you know, driving the thing, teeing off, it doesn't go where you're aiming. And so Teach is out there, you know, and he's like, well, I'm asking, you know, Teach is so polite, such a nice guy. You have to ask, what am I doing wrong? Just tell me. Well, he says, you take your eye off the ball. See, I'm looking to where I want it to go. He said, no, you got to keep your eye on the ball. So I would do what he would say, and he would go fairly decent, not near as far as what they could knock it, you know. And, you know, but you had to follow the instructions. You had to keep your eye on the ball. You had to do it, you know. You had to do it. I don't even know why I'm telling you this story. Stand up. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of that story? Like, what's that? Where that came from? Come from? Dear Jesus, help me. Amen. I'm needing help preaching sermons now. But anyway, what was I? I was talking to. Follow instructions. Thank you. Somebody's paying attention. And when I'd follow his instructions, that ball would go farther and it would go more in a direction where I wanted. It still didn't go exactly where I wanted. I wanted to go down there and go in that hole, you know, way down there. It didn't do that, but it at least would go, you know, far enough that, you know, I had to walk and find it. Before that, it just wasn't working. Well, you got to follow the instructions of the Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.